Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Can we talk about the James Webb Space Telescope? I want to talk about the James Webb Space Telescope real quick.
That's fine by me.
Cool. I think it is the best thing ever.
Isn't that exactly what you say in this article that we've got up?
Not this one, I wrote another one.
Oh, okay.
When it launched, I wrote an article calling it the best thing ever. I quite literally exactly mean that. It's the best thing human hands have ever created.
Is whenever you talk about it, it's the most you ever seem like you're back to being a child in a toy shop.
No, definitely. I do have some sort of childlike wonder.
Yeah, and I don't mean that as an insult, but
I mean, it's good to
see the sort of enthusiasm, because in these sorts of times, it's difficult to get excited about things.
This is a white pill.
Yes.
Yeah, no black pills from me today. So, as I mentioned actually in one of my last segments, mankind is a tall building ape. Like whether it was something in the order of 3 million years ago, some sort of ape, which isn't even true Homo sapien, at some point realised it could use tools. I mean, even modern chimpanzees and bonobos and orangutans use very, very, very rudimentary tools sometimes. Mm. Like use a little stick to poke down into a termite or ant mound and to get them out and then eat them. Things like that.
That's still clever compared to most animals.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So at some point, 3 odd million years ago, do you ever see the film 2001 A Space Odyssey?
Of course.
When they show that, like some sort of ape. Using like the jawbone of a dead animal or maybe a thigh bone or something. And
yes, the precursor to all invention and modern creation was in all likelihood development of weapons. And that was just finding something that would give you an edge over the next tribe over. I mean, simplified, there's a meme that I see every so often, which is of a ancient man-like ape holding a rock. And it just says, "Too bad, food chain. I've just learned how to throw a rock."
Yeah.
You're all screwed now.
Well, because you say weapons, but that's just a tool, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's just a tool. At some point, the ape creature, our ancestor, realised it could manipulate the environment around it. It didn't just have to merely exist with whatever the elements threw at it. It could actually manipulate the world in some small way. Fast forward to now, and we've got space telescopes. I do think they're sort of the most precise instruments we've got. By some way. And there are dozens, or have been, certainly, dozens and dozens and dozens of space telescopes. People will almost certainly have heard of Hubble, and maybe a few others, like Spitzer or something. But if you go on Wikipedia and look up the list of all the ones that have ever been, all the ones that are still up there, it's dozens. Dozens and dozens.
Is there one near Manchester?
A space telescope near Manchester? No.
I must be misremembering something, because I remember always taking the train to Manchester when I was going to university, and there was a big, it looked like some kind of observation dome.
Oh, I'm sure there is that.
On the way.
But by space telescope, by definition, it means it's in space.
Oh.
Is there an observatory near Manchester? Yeah, I'm sure there are.
That might be. Right. That might be what I was thinking of.
Sorry. But when we say space telescopes, we mean telescopes that are in space.
I am a complete troglodyte on this subject, so please forgive my ignorance.
No worries. Yeah, no, of course. If I can bring the wonder of space telescopes to people out there, then I'll be happy. I've done my job. I did see once a tweet from Graham Hancock saying, people haven't really created anything genuinely new for centuries and centuries. And I was like, space telescopes? And he didn't respond.
He'd probably be like, oh, well, that's just a telescope in space, isn't it? There's no difference. It's just in space.
The first time Galileo ground a lens and realised he could magnify an image a bit. There's no difference between that and James Webb.
There you go.
Same thing. Anyway. So, yeah, James Webb went up, a couple of years ago now. And it has been sending back images and science of all types. And it really is the cutting edge of our knowledge of the cosmos. Is there anything better, more wondrous than that? I don't know. I don't think so. And it has done and will continue to show us the edge of forever. That's a Carl Sagan line. That's not my line. And I wrote this article, what, a couple of years ago, 2.5 years ago now. And it was right when it just went up and was first starting to send its first images back.
Was that the first image or
it's
one
not
of
the first image, but it's among the first, yeah.
So what is that that we're seeing? What's all of the, where does the yellow hazy colouring come from?
Well, so, okay. So, well, it's just a nebula.
Mm.
But the colouring is, okay, that's one of the more difficult things because they have to essentially sort of pick what colours they're going to show. What the real, real colour of it is, is difficult to say because the human eyeball can only deal with a certain small spectrum of colours, right? So basically, this is what, whenever you get an image, on some level, NASA have fiddled with it a bit to make it look the way you eventually see.
I expected
there'll be all sorts of filters on it. So sometimes, not just with James Webb, but for Hubble anyway, there'll be an image of a particular galaxy or nebula or something, and there'll be multiple versions of it with sort of different colour grading on it. Mm. And you, these space telescopes can see things in different frequencies of light. So there's the visible spectrum, then there's obviously the infrared and ultraviolet as well. And James Webb is an infrared telescope first and foremost, so it can see the longest, most stretched out light. That's why it can see back to almost the dawn of the universe. It's because with the expansion of the universe, light itself has been stretched out by the expansion of the cosmos. Light itself has been stretched out so the wavelengths are too long for the human eye to see, so you need an infrared sensor to see it. And then, as I say, NASA, the bods at NASA, will translate into an image that we can then see on a computer screen. But it actually wouldn't be visible to the human eye with the best will in the world.
That is pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely.
No wonder you get so excited about this stuff. It's like it feels almost supernatural to be able to see into something like that, right?
Yeah, because as fast as light is, it's not infinitely fast. So essentially, you're looking back, the further back, further through space you're looking, it's the further back in time you're looking. It's like it's the closest thing to a time machine. So when we see, when infrared light hits the James Webb Space Telescope sensors from 13.5 billion years ago, you're looking back, that light left where it originated from 13.5 billion years ago. So you're looking back in time, you're looking back to the dawn of time, you're looking back to the edge of forever, if you like. So if I can quote myself, like all good narcissists do, I said, since before the dawn of civilization, men have gazed up at the twinkling lights in the night sky and wondered at them. We've always been enchanted and mystified by the stars. They are beguiling and beautiful, unimaginably violent, and yet the origin of all life. They are disquieting, disturbing, yet fascinating. Yeah, because as I go on later to say that, there is something, you know, obviously, I think, wonderful, mesmerizing almost, about looking up at the stars, knowing that the light is impossibly ancient.
Mm.
And
the knowledge that when we look up at the night sky, we're seeing light from who knows how long ago of dying stars.
Maybe.
But the
ones that are visible to us, to the naked eye, are not that far away in the scheme of things.
Oh, right.
Maybe a few, at most, a few million years. Light years away.
Only a few million light years.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, on the timescales of stars' lifetimes, probably not. But however,
still feels pretty long to me.
If you use a very powerful telescope or any sort of space telescope, then at a certain point, yeah, it's almost certainly all the stars you're seeing are already dead. Not long ago. That's the nature of it. It's crazy to think, isn't it? But yeah, this idea that you. It's disturbing when you think about it. It's, let's say, wonderful and beautiful, but also disturbing when you actually think about it. When you're standing outside looking up at the night sky, other than the tiny film of atmosphere that there is over the Earth. When you look at the Earth and how thick and deep the atmosphere is on the Earth, it's just a tiny film. Beyond that, there's just infinity. Above your head stretches out infinity. If you actually just dwell on that for a while, you sort of, well, you realise how small and insignificant we are really in the scheme of things on the cosmic scale.
See, to me, that doesn't feel like small and insignificant. It feels almost the opposite.
Like we're special.
Yeah.
Well, so far we've seen no evidence of alien life. Some people, you know, people...
You said Carl Sagan. Wasn't it he who said that we are the universe looking back at itself?
Yeah,
we are. That's a more uplifting way of looking at it.
We are star stuff. Every atom in our bodies is made up of exploded stars. Our sun is a third, maybe fourth generation star. And all the matter that went into creating our solar system and therefore us and everything comes from supernova or something along those lines. So we are star stuff. We are a way for the universe to know itself. In fact, I've got a quote here from the late, great Carl Sagan. He said, "The cosmos is full beyond measure of elegant truths, of exquisite interrelationships, of the awesome machinery of nature. The surface of the Earth is the shore of the cosmic ocean. On this shore, we have learned most of what we know. Recently, we've waded a little way out, maybe ankle deep, and the water seems inviting. Some part of our being knows that this is where we came from, i.e. space. We long to return, and we can, because the cosmos is within us. We are made of star stuff. We are a way of the cosmos to know itself." Yeah, and that sounds a bit 1970s hippy-dippy, but it's also perfectly true, isn't it?
And if you're of a more religious mind, you could say that we're looking up at God's creation.
Oh, well, there's no need to go there.
I know that you wouldn't say anything like that.
Yeah, there's no need to infer a creator, in my opinion.
I would say the opposite, personally.
Fair dinkum. Richard Feynman talked about the inconceivable nature of nature. Mm. I mean, Feynman talked about how when we look up at distant galaxies and star clusters and things, they seem as perfect as a snowflake, as organic as a dandelion seed. I think so. I say that we stand on the shoulders of giants, the likes of Euclid and Aristarchus or Kepler and Newton, and where man just apparently can't stop making tools. We can't stop making finer and finer precision engineered tools. We can't, won't stop.
And this is the nature of a Faustian man, as Spengler would have put it, isn't it? We are constantly curious.
Yeah, right.
And we need to learn more.
Yeah.
Even if sometimes it leads us down bad paths. Although I wouldn't say that necessarily looking into and traversing space, unless of course we do end up finding the event horizon and opening a portal to hell and we turn into Doom World. That would genuinely be quite Faustian. But outside of that incredibly slim possibility, I think it's a wonderful and ambitious thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Man's curiosity. Just take, for example, atomic research, where it makes atomic bombs, but also atomic energy. You know, the research into flight, because it's only a little over a century we've been able to fly. We've been able to copy the birds. Both we make ships of war for bombing, and also, ultimately, spaceships.
It's just amazing to consider that it was, like you say, just about a little over, 100 years ago where we were having the first planes.
Yeah.
And now we're already doing this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Spectacular.
It's like an exponential rise. It's like a lot of things, you see that in all sorts of ways, that from like the evolution of life to research into sort of computer chips. It's like a very, very, very slow progression. Then there's some sort of tipping point and then the chart just goes through the roof. Hopefully mankind has passed that tipping point and it's just going to go exponentially fast now. But okay, I mean, James Webb, just this year, again, this is supposed to be a little bit of a look back at the last year's worth of sweet images that JWST has sent back to us.
It's like a painting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And just on a purely aesthetic level, it's beautiful.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, is this the different... it's a different...
Yeah, Hubble on the left, Webb on the right. And you can see the difference. I mean, Hubble was purely optical light. Mm. And James Webb can just see, not just with more clarity, but with... Well, it's just superior in sort of every sense. So I thought we could just look through some of these. Again, many of them are Hubble and Webb side by side. Because if you can see in the infrared, you can sort of see through things to some extent. You can see through dust clouds much more easily.
It makes a hell of a difference.
Things that sort of you sort of boggle the mind. Like that. Is that real? I mean, I'm not really questioning if it's real. Of course it's real, but it's like, you almost have to pinch yourself. Is that even a real thing? You know,
it's amazing how throughout all of nature, that kind of spiral that we see there, the way it's twisting in, is ubiquitous. You find it everywhere, even in space.
Yeah,
it's incredible. It's in here, and then it's out there as well. It's amazing.
And if you drill down into the atomic subatomic world, it seems it's very similar. I mean, one thing that blows my mind is some people say, some actual physicists say that a black hole is in all sorts of ways like a single atom. Its properties are like a single atom in all sorts of ways. It's only got mass and spin and like not much else to it. It's, in terms of physics, it's actually a really, really simple thing, although monstrous.
Terrifying to conceive.
The way we see... as you say, those patterns on different scales repeating themselves, whether it's at the galactic or intergalactic scale in our normal world or in the subatomic, the same nature repeats the same sorts of patterns. And the way we see these things are just incidental. It just happens that these things are at that particular plane from our point of view. You know, so the last one we saw is sort of head on to us. And this one's obviously at an angle, and that's just by chance that it happens to be, you know, in millions of years time it will be at a different angle to us, but for right now
sorry, I like the little description, also known as the Sombrero Galaxy.
Yeah, that's Sombrero. Yeah,
this one you could just pop on your head.
Look, galaxies colliding with each other in mid-collision are quite remarkable, because some people say the Milky Way is going to collide with Andromeda. I did watch a thing just the other day saying maybe those calculations aren't right and we might miss each other. This won't be for millions of years yet. Mm. Did watch something the other day saying maybe they won't actually collide, but I think still most people think they probably will. But it turns out that most stars won't actually hit each other. It's like if there was a swarm of bees and you shot a shotgun, most of the bees would be fine, wouldn't get hit by the pellets, you know? But still, what an image. Two galaxies sort of splashing into each other. Whether the supermassive black holes at their core will eventually collide, rotate around each other and eventually collide and form an even more massive supermassive black hole. Look, here's Hubble's attempt to view the Sombrero, and it's sort of washed out by light in all sorts of ways. I actually think the Hubble image in this instance is sort of more photogenic. It's not really the right word, but certainly Webb can see more detail. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt whatsoever on that score. So if anyone's even remotely interested, I would advise people to look this stuff up for themselves, watch videos about James Webb and what it's doing, because it's going to be up there hopefully for quite a few more years, you know, 10 maybe 20 years. Some it could get hit by a micro meteor and get damaged and be out of action tomorrow, or it could go on past its predicted lifespan, which is a few years, 10 odd years. But some NASA missions go on long after they expect it to burn out and die. So some are saying that maybe, hopefully, James Webb might be sending back science and images for closer to 15, fingers crossed, even 20 odd years. And of course, there are plans to build the next generation, even bigger, better one. And just one last thing to say, it doesn't just send back images of like wonderful galaxy structures. But it also does look at like things in our solar system, like really good images of Jupiter or something.
I'm sorry, some of these images, this one right here in particular, and some of these, you mentioned 2001 A Space Odyssey. This is like straight out of the psychedelic sequence at the end of that, right? This is when Dave, I think the main character, is traveling through who knows what to get to the monolith. That's amazing.
You're hurting me, Dave. I can feel it.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
That one actually happens to be, it says it's an artist's impression.
Oh, okay. So oh, yeah, artist's concept.
To be not sort of entirely real, if you like.
Oh.
But still. Yes, keep scrolling down for a bit. You can see some of those are sort of stretched out images. It's stretched out. Well, that's to do with gravitational lensing. Between us and those stars or galaxies is something extremely massive, like a black hole or something. And so the light has bent around that.
Oh, yeah, you can see how it's warping more in the larger image here, yeah.
And of course it's warped, but what it does mean is that we can see light from even further away than we would otherwise have been able to. So that light is sort of truly impossibly old, billions and billions of years old. Those stars are probably all dead now. I'm stretching back to close to the dawn of the universe. I just think it's absolutely remarkable. I don't know how people aren't interested in that sort of thing. I don't get it. But then I'm sort of quite an inquisitive person. I'm interested in all sorts of history, even sort of crop rotation in the 13th century will interest me. So it takes something extremely dull and boring before I switch off out of boredom. So something like this, looking back to the dawn of time, looking back to the edge of forever, of course I'm fascinated by it, just endlessly fascinated by it. And I do hope that it's fired the imagination of at least one person out there that goes away and looks it up for themselves and is amazed.
Yeah. I'll have to look a bit more into this because these pictures are awesome. Ooh, look at that. See, that looks like an eyeball.
Yeah, there is.
Iris right in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. There are a few stars and star clusters where they've given them names and they're things like the Eye of Sauron or whatever. Not that, but things like that.
That would be quite ominous. This is just the Eye of Sauron that we're staring into, looking back at us.
Yeah, no big deal. Just the real Eye of Sauron, much, much, much bigger, cosmically bigger than Tolkien could ever imagine.
Probably more powerful.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And what you should be doing is using your new Load Seaters gift subscription, that new feature we've got on the site, to watch all of our premium content while you've got lots of downtime over the holidays. I hope you're having a nice time. Also check out our Twitter where we post links to everything that we're putting out. Thank you very much for watching. Have a nice holiday and goodbye.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.